Today, Shem Sakhba Babasu Dav Kuft HaZayin. We will begin on Dav Kuft HaZvav Amabeis, 10 lines from the bottom. Karlovus Mikra Zeb. In our previous year, we learned that Rabbi Yochanan had a debate with the Tzedakim, where the Tzedakim opinion was that if somebody passed away without any children, and he only had a son while he was alive, and that son died and left a daughter, so we know the halacha is that that daughter is an extension of a father. And therefore that daughter will get the Yerusha, the entire Yerusha. The Tzedakim held that if that were the circumstances, so the Tzedakim held that in that circumstances there's a surviving daughter, the surviving daughter shares with the granddaughter. And Rabbi Yochanan, speaking to Tzedakim, says, Karvala Samikrazah, he quoted this pasuk to disprove them. The pasuk says, Eil b'nei seiri achayri yoshvei aretz loitan v'shavol v'tzivan v'anan. So here the pasuk says that Ana was a brother of Tzivan. Then the pasuk says, V'eil b'nei tzivan. The pasuk continues in telling us who are the children of Tzivan. V'aya v'aynan. So we have a question. On one hand, Ana, in one place it says that Ana was Tzivan's brother. In the other place it says Ana was Tzivan's son. How do we reconcile these two psukim? And Malamit Shabbat Tzivan al Imai. What must have happened was that Tzivan had relations with his mother for Hoylid, and they had the son Ana. So Ana is both the son of Tzivan and a paternal brother. And that's why the Torah mentions him in both ways. Now, from here we see, says the Gemara, that Ana had a share in the Yerusha of Seir. Why? Because we see from here, Bnei Bonim, Harem Kabonim, the grandchildren are Yarshim of the grandfather, and therefore Ana had a share. The honor, because he was the son of Tzivan, had a share in the Yerusha of Esav because of his father Tzivan. So we see from here that a grandson is a Yerush, and the same halacha is that a granddaughter is a Yerush. So of course the Rashbam asked the obvious question. The debate between Rabbi Yochanan and the Tzedakim was not about the ability of a grandchild to be a Yerush. That was no question that a grandchild is a Yerush. The only thing that Tzedakim added that wasn't the halacha that we don't agree with is that a granddaughter shares with an aunt. This entire episode that we just learned about Ana, about Tzivan and Ana, how does that have anything to do with the issue that we are learning? So the Rashbam says, indeed it doesn't. And the Rashbam says that the reason the Gemara mentions it is only, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan did not want to give the Tzedakim a direct answer. And because he didn't want to give the Tzedakim a direct answer, he said a halacha, even though it has nothing to do with what we're discussing. The Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran say that that's not the pshat, but the point is that the Tzedakim wanted to say that the daughter is stronger than the granddaughter, and therefore if a granddaughter is getting a share, the daughter certainly should get a share. This pasuk proves the strength of a grandchild, and that's why there's no need to share with the daughter. Tosfos, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, has a whole different approach to this Gemara. He says that Ana was a granddaughter. And we see from here that the granddaughter, Ana wasn't a male. Ana was a granddaughter. And the Torah says that she got her own share. She did not at all have to share with anybody else, because that is the power of a grandchild. As we said, the Rashbam's pshat is because the Rashbam's approach was that we want to avoid answering the Tzedakim. And the Sefer Chassidim in Siman Reish Tzadik Vav, says Onam Shabalov Galach Koimer Amin. If a priest or an apikiris approaches somebody, Vein a chacham of fulpul, and the person is not really that much of a talmud chacham. A yish bal talmud veni yorei chayit roid vacha kavod. The person is not of the highest level. V'zad tzadik veni kol kach chacham. Ayim zeh chacham abalav goes into entire description of who is the person that's being approached. He says, "Al yisfakichim, I don't enter into any debates with him. Shema yita liba achreim. Getting into debates with him can only lead to trouble." And therefore, says the Sefer Chassidim, which is very much based on the way the Rashbam learns our Gemara, that we didn't want to get into a debate. The Gemara, however, goes off to digress for a moment. The Gemara says that we started this piece of Gemara by asking, was Onar Tzivan's son, was Avin Tzivan's brother? And because of that, we said that Tzivan had relations with her, with his mother. But ask the Gemara, what makes us say that that's what happened? Maybe Dilma Trey Onar Hava. Maybe the way to understand where there were two different honors. And if there were two different honors, the entire discussion that we just had is really superfluous, says the Gemara Amar Rabbah, to which Rabbah says, Amina Milsa, I want to say something to Le Amr Shvar Malka. What I'm going to say is so profound that even Shvar Malka was not able to say it. Umana, says the Gemara, who's Shvar Malka? Shvar Malka, at first glance, seems to be the name of a non-Jewish king. Is that somebody who we're going to be focused on in our Gemara? That we want to say, we want to quote what he says. Says the Gemara means Shmuel. Shmuel was a very big expert in Dinei Mominus. And just like we know, when a king issues a ruling, his ruling is final. So too, the Gemara says in a number of places in Shas, Halach Karabi Surah, the Halach is like Rav when we have questions of Issa Vaheter. Shmuel B'dinei, the Halach is like Shmuel when we have questions of Dinei Mominus. And that's why Shmuel is compared to a melech, that his rulings in Dinei Mominus were very final. The Mefarshim find this pshat very difficult. Yes, Shmuel, of course, was a very great individual, as we're learning. But is Shmuel's greatness dependent on the fact that he was compared to Shvar Malka? Is that the way we're going to identify the greatness of Shmuel? So say that Dara says, of course, that's not what made Shmuel great. Why the Gemara compares him to Shvar Malka is because Shmuel was very frequent with Shvar Malka. Because he was so frequent with Shvar Malka, that's why he's associated with him. Ikadamri Amra Papa Amina Milsa Doliamri Shvar Malka. I'm going to tell you something that somebody as great as Shvar Malka could not have said. Umanu, and who is that? Rabbah. And even though the Arach is like Rava all over, here we shouldn't refute what Rabbi Yochanan said and say that perhaps they're too honest. Because Amakra, the Pasuk says, V'ela tzivan b'nei tzivan v'ayi v'ana. Hu ana shemotza seyom yemi b'midbar. So the Pasuk, using the word, the prefix, when it speaks about ana, says hu ana. What is the Torah telling us with that prefix? Who honored the Mikara? It was the same honor, the honor that's throughout the same one. Amalei. So now, says the Zokin, the Tzdoiki, says to Rabbi Yochanan, Bekach Ata Petreni, this is the way you're trying to say that I'm wrong. And again, especially if we learn the Pshat of the Rashbam, that Rabbi Yochanan really wasn't answering the question, he was avoiding the question. So what he was said to him was, all you were able to prove is that a grandchild is a Yoyrish. I've never disagreed, says the Tzadiki, that a grandchild is a Yoyrish. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. Amalois, Rabbi Yochanan said to the Tzadiki, Shaita, v'leisei tayyush shleim ishlonu kasicha p'teil shalachem. The fact that I brought a raya from Onah, again, following the Rashbam's pshat, is not the way to really prove my point. I didn't want to prove my point to you because I didn't want to answer you because I didn't want to give you the real Dvar Torah. Malabas Benoi, Sheken Yofa Koicha B'Mokam Achim. What's my proof of the strength of a granddaughter? That means if there was a man who had a son who passed away before his father, that the halacha is that if he left a, and then the father dies, and there was only a daughter left from this son, that that daughter gets the Teirusha, that the Sheken Yofa Koicha B'Mokam Achim, that the halacha is that the father's brothers don't get Yerusha, as we've known, if there's a child or a grandchild. Even, and now, she is even stronger than her uncle. The halacha is that children and grandchildren take precedent over brothers over the nifter. Now, when we speak about brothers of the nifter, and we speak about sisters of the nifter, of course, the brothers of the nifter are much stronger, because sisters don't get Yerusha when there is a brother. So if the brothers don't get, then the halacha is that certainly brothers of the nifter don't get, then certainly the sister of the brother don't get. And the Yad Raman Ritva say maybe they should get, and therefore what's your question to the tzedakim? Says the Yad Raman, the entire point that tzedakim were making was they were talking about women, and that the granddaughter should not be any stronger, that the granddaughter should not be any stronger than her aunt. But the granddaughter was always stronger than the uncles. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. If the granddaughter is stronger than the uncles, who are usually stronger than the aunts, then the granddaughter is certainly stronger than the aunts. Tamabit Shur Koicha B'Mokam Achim. Says the Gemara, the Nitzcham, and that's how the Chachmei Yisrael prevailed. And that's how we go back to what we discussed in our previous year. Vayisuyai Masar Yontif, that day became a Yontif, because the tzedakim were proven to be wrong. And that's why they made that day to be a yontif. We learned in our Mishnah that the halacha is that the granddaughter the daughter of a son that dies before his father gets a share of the grandfather's Yerusha together with her uncles. That means she takes her father's place. Says the Gemara, the Torah, the Nach, in Parasha Shoftim, tells us that there was a terrible civil war because of the story of Plegish Begivin. There was a Plegish that was left in Givin that was brutally killed, and they went to civil war against Binyamin. And at the end of that civil war, there were only 600 men left from Sheva Binyanim, and there was nobody to marry them. And they could not marry women from other Shvatim, because part of what Klal Yisrael had made a shvua, that no one would give their daughters to men from Sheva Binyamin as wife. At this point, the people of Klal Yisrael realized that the Sheva Binyamin was on the brink of decimation, of extinction. So they found the girls who lived in Yavesh Gilad, who were not part of that Shvua, and 400 of the people of Sheva Binyamin married those girls. There were 200, however, as we said, we started with 600 men. So 400 men found a Shidduch. 200 were left without a Shidduch, and the rest of the Shvatim, because they were concerned that Sheva Binyamin should not be go extinct, had to find them wives. Yamei Yerushas Pleitel Binyanim, Lo Yimachas Shamay BiYisrael. At that point, they made a special rule for Shem Binyamin. What was the rule they made? Amar Rav Yitzchak, the Bey Rav Ami, Malamet Shehisnu Hashem Binyamin. They made the following condition: Shlo Tirash Basa Ben Ma'achim. Even though we just learned that if a son dies, but he left a daughter, that granddaughter, gets a share, her father's share, together with her uncles. That rule was abolished in this case. Why? Because we were concerned. What happened here was that since there were only 600 people left from Sheva Binyamin, so the entire portion of Sheva Binyamin, every remaining individuals, Hashem v'yamin, obviously had a very large portion of land. And if a girl not from her shevet, not from that shevet, will get married, will get the Yerusha, so that will take away big chunks of the Yerusha of Shevet Binyamin. And therefore, they made that rule. And as the Rishonim explained, even though we learned that in the first generation, they were very concerned who girls were married, and we're going to speak about this more in our coming shir, in future generations, once it was established, then they weren't, the Torah did not care about this. But here, we were concerned about this. But the Rashbam makes a point, that even though, as we just learned, they made a rule that granddaughters should not get a share, that was specifically granddaughters. But let's say somebody passed away and he only had daughters. There, the daughters would get the Yerusha and not his brothers, even though it's very possible that those girls would marry people from another shevet. Because, says the Rashbam, as much as there was a concern that we wanted to make sure that Shevet Binyamin exists and it continues to exist in their Nachla, a person is most concerned that his children should get his Yerusha. So grandchildren is one thing, but children, somebody wants their children, and therefore, even though it would cause that this Yerusha may end up in a different Shevet, that isn't a consideration. If somebody doesn't leave over a son to be his Yairish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Alav Evra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. Ksiv Hacham, the Torah speaks about Ish Ki Yamasu Ben Ein Loi, if somebody dies without children, Vavartem Es Nachlosei Labitai. V'ksiv Hasam, when the Pasuk in Sefanya speaks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take revenge from all of his enemies when Mashiach comes, B'mheira B'yameinu. And the Pasuk says, Yoim Evra Yoim Ahu. So we see that this Pasuk represents the punishment that will happen at that day. So, of course, the Mefarshim ask, if a person doesn't have sons, it's not that he didn't want to have sons. So why should he get punished because he didn't have sons? So one pshat that I saw from the Sefer V'Yagid Yaakov is the Gemara says, in Masechet Kedushin, Ashrei mi shebanav zecharim, oylei lebanav nekevis. Wonderful is it for a person whose sons are men, are males, and terrible if his sons are females. What is that? Sons are females. What does that mean? So the Sefer V'Yagid Yaakov explains what it means is that the son, you could have two types of people. You got people that are like men. Ben is always considered somebody who is a mashpia, who has influence on others. Somebody says, the Gemara says, if somebody he doesn't leave children who are able to be people of influence, they're able to accomplish. If your children, if you didn't leave children that could make a mark in the world, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. Another pshat I saw, that the word Yarshoi stands for Yiskadal V'Yiskadish Shmei Rabbah. Kol She'enem Ben Yarshoi. What is the purpose of saying Kaddish when somebody loses it, when somebody dies? To bring a Kiddush Hashem. If somebody doesn't have children that are Mekaddish Shem Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. Along the same pshat, Royal Yarsha means that you have to train your children to follow your ways. And if you don't train your children, your Yarsha, that you don't make him, that he doesn't follow the Minhagim, the way of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. Another pshat is just the opposite. The father is the Yair, our parents are our Yarshim. Somebody whose parents are not alive, his children, when they do mitzvahs, they bring schusim to the nifter. But if somebody doesn't leave over children who are able to bring schusim to the nifter, if somebody doesn't leave those kind of children, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. Why did you not leave over such children? Another pshat that I saw is that if somebody has children, but if he didn't do what he was supposed to do in this world, then his children don't have what to take from him. And if he didn't leave over in the world, he didn't live his life in a way that his children should have what to take from him, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yishma Kael V'yaneim V'yoshim Kad V'sela Ashein Chalif V'slom V'yur Alakim. Says the Gemara, Z'machlok Shabu Yochem V'shu B'levi. What does this Pasuk mean? Chad Omar L'misha N'mneich Ben. That the Pasuk is speaking about somebody who doesn't leave over a son. V'chad Omar L'misha N'mneich Talmud. And the other one says that it's talking about somebody who doesn't leave over Talmidim to learn Torah from him. The Mefarshim explain, again, the same question. If somebody doesn't have children, why should he be punished? He tried. So I saw that the Arach Hama explains, everything is with Hashgacha Pratis. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that this person shouldn't have any children, it must be that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that this person is not living the way the way he should live. The Chassam Sofer was asked a question. There was a wealthy man who has no sons, and he wants to make a will that he should leave his money for tzedakah and not for his yorshim. And the Chassam Sofer says that since Agmar says that somebody who leaves the world without sons, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at him. So says the Chassam Sofer, such a person, even though the Chassam Sofer suggests, we should avoid doing that. If there's Hilchos Yerusha, as we're learning, the Torah wants that the Yerushim should get the Yerusha. But here we see that this is a person HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset with, and therefore he can leave his Yerusha for tzedakah. So we had a machlokes. Who is the person? A person without a son, a person without a Talmud. Says the one at the time, the Rabbi Yochanan Dama Talmud. It must be Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that somebody without a Talmud is the one Hashem is upset with. Dama Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, all of his children died in his lifetime. And when we go to Menachem Avil, he would take Dain Garmid as Sarabir. He would carry along the bone of his 10th son. So obviously, it can't mean that Rabbi Yochanan says somebody who's dying without children, because he was a person who didn't have children. This time, it must be the Rabbi Yochanan Amit Talmud. Of course, the Rishonim debate, how could you have a person, how could he walk around with a bone? A bone is tamei. So one pshat that the Rashi Masechta Bracha says, he walked around a bone that was less than the size of a hadasha. It doesn't give a tumah. The Rashbam says he took a tooth, and a tooth doesn't give off tumah. And the Ritva says it also is appropriate because he used to bring it to the Sudas Havra. When Avelim Rechman Slan sit down Shiva, they have a Sudas Havra, and he brought the tooth as a raya. Says the Gemara. So it must be Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says a Talmud. Says the Gemara. Umid Rabbi Yochanan a Talmud. If Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that, who is Hashem upset with the one that doesn't live a Talmud? It must be Rabbi Shuben Levi is the one that holds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset the one that doesn't leave a son. But ask the Gemara, how could you say that? For Rabbi Shuben Levi, Le'ozel Beit Tamya, Rabbi Shuben would never go to be Menachem Avil, Elabei Man Deshacha B'lei Bonim. Only if somebody who died without children. The Ksiv, B'chu B'chol L'Hoylech. V'am Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, L'Hoylech Ben Zacher. Somebody died without any children. So we see that if Rabbi Shuben Levi says if somebody dies without sons, he's not a Yerushimayim, why did Rabbi Shuben Levi specifically go to such a person to Menachem Avil? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shuben Levi, who do I'm a Talmud? So it's Rabbi Shuben Levi that says that somebody who doesn't leave a Talmud is the one Hashem's angry. Nothing to do with sons. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Rabbi Shuben Levi, who do I'm a Talmud? It's Rabbi Shuben Levi who says that the one is a Talmud, says the Gemara. So it must be Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ben. But now we have Kasha Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan himself lost all his sons. Says Gemara Loi Kasha. Ha the day. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan went to Menachem Oval, somebody without children, because he holds like that it's somebody doesn't leave a Talmud. But somebody doesn't leave children like him is not the end of the world. For ha, Rabbi Yochanan said that it's referring to somebody who doesn't have children that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at. That wasn't his own opinion. That was the opinion regarding somebody that was the opinion of his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, "Bacha b'chol la'hailach, v'am Rav Yudam Rav la'hailach b'lei banim." Says the Gemara, says the Chasam Sofer explaining the Gemara. He says that there's no point in crying over somebody who died. Why do we cry? The person who leaves the world is in a better place. Why do we cry? We cry for us that we lost. That we lost a tzaddik. That's pshat. A tifkul ameis. Don't cry for the nifter. He's in the olam ha'abis. B'chu b'hu l'chaylech. We have to cry for ourselves that this person who was amongst us, this person who was amongst us, now is no longer here. And it obviously affects all of us when we lose such a person. Says the Gemara, Simen Hader Ani V'Chochem. Dor Shapichs B'Chom Amaydik Siv, V'adat Shama B'Mitzrayim, K'shochav David Im Havoysov, V'chimeis Yoiv Sar Tzva. Says the Gemara, Neymad B'David Nemre Shchiva. Why does the Pasuk use the word Shchiva by David? U'bi Yoiv, and when the Pasuk speaks about Yoiv, Nemre Ba Misa, the Torah uses the word Misa. Says the Gemara, David Shneich Ben, David who left sons, he's only resting, but he's still here. Yoiv Shloi Hiniach Ben Yoiv that did not leave off such a son. Nemar Bashmisa, it's the end. Says the Gemara of Yoiv Leinich Ben Vaksib Bnei Yoiv Avadya Ben Yechiel Pasuk in Ezra El David Shneich Ben Kamoisai. He left son who was following his ways. Nemar Bashchiva. That's why the Torah uses the word Shchiva. Yoiv, Shloich Nich Ben Kamaisa, but Yoiv did not have a son on his level. That's why by Yoiv, the Pasuk says, Nemar by Misa, the Torah says Misa. Agamara here said that Rabbi Shuba Levi avoided going to be Menachem Avil, only under certain circumstances. And that opens up a very important question that the Paiskim discuss about. And that is, we know Nichum Avelim is a mitzvah, Bikacholim is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that you can't have somebody else doing on your behalf. And the question is, what is the right thing to do? Should a Talmud Chacham do these mitzvahs, even though it's going to take away from his learning, or not? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said if there's a person who's sitting Shiva Rachman Tzlan, or a person who's not well, Rachman Tzlan, and needs Bikacholim, and there are other people who could do it, the Talmud Chacham should not do it. There are other people that could do it. And there's an interesting tshuva in the Marshag, Chelik Bei Simen Resh Chof Hei. He says that before he became of a Rav in a city, he went to his Rebbe, the Maram Shik. And the Maram Shik told him that even though you're becoming a Rav of a city and you have obligations, don't feel obligated to go to every event, to every Suda, to every Simcha. He said, as I say it in Yiddish, then we'll explain it. If somebody sits and learns, hotman kaimlish charata, you will never have regret for sitting and learning. So as much as there's always a reason to do something, you have to really consider, is that what is required to do at that time? Darish Repichas Bechama, Kosh Anias B'Toch Beisah Shlodom, if there's poverty in someone's home, Yoysim Mechamish Makis, it's worse than 50 Makis. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, when Eov's colleague spoke to him, Chaneini, Chanuni, Chanuni Atem Roi, Kiad Al Kim Nogibi. He says to his friends, have pity on me, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish me, and his colleagues respond to him, Shamulcha al Teifin al Oven, Kalzeh b'chartamani. Don't complain, because you're better off that from people who are poor, and you're better off than people. You're better off than poor, people poor. So how do we see that's like 50 makis? So the Mefarshim explain, the Rashbam explains. The pasuk says by Yiv Yad Hashem Hoisabi Yad Hashem. By the makis in Mitzrayim, it says Etzba Lekim. Etzba we know is one finger. One finger brought 10 makis. So a hand that has 5 fingers represent 50 makis. There was a person who was once a wealthy person. Reb Shlomo Hyman says this in the Chiddush Reb Shlomo. There was once somebody who was wealthy and he lost all his money. But people weren't aware that he lost his money. So people came to him to collect stock up. He asked them, who are you collecting from? For? And they said, we can't tell you. We had promised to keep confidential who we're collecting stock up. He asked them and asked him, and they didn't tell him. And then he said, now I could tell you that I don't have money. I didn't want to tell people who will publicize I don't have money. And that's pshat. Kosh anis b'toch beisus shel adam. If the anis is kept, if it's made public, it's a whole different type of situation. Darish rapinchas b'choma. Kosh yesh lechol b'toch beisus. If somebody has an ill person in his home, she go to Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham should daven on his behalf. The Torah tells us that the right thing to do, if there's somebody has a person that's ill, the place to go is a Talmud Chacham. Many pshatim why one should go to Talmud Chacham. The Mefarshim explain, sort of Oiv Yisrael explains, the Pasuk says, Vasiroisa Malcha Mikrobecha. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away the need to go to doctors. The Torah is telling us we should go, we'll be able to go to the Chacham. The Sefer Oruch Letzadik explains that what is the point of going to Talmud Chacham. He says, because a person, why does a person get sick? A person gets sick because he did Averis. And the Talmud Chacham could point out what his Averis are. Another pshat is that the Talmud Chacham suffers when he hears somebody is sick. And the Talmud Chacham suffering when somebody else is sick, and he wasn't supposed to suffer, that's why this person feels, by the Talmud Chacham feeling the pain and davening for him, that's how the person gets better. Another pshat I saw is that when a Talmud Chacham is mispalel, it's like a tefillas rabbim. And we know that the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never ignores the tefillah of a Talmud Chacham. Rav Shlomo Klug in the Sefer Imri Shefer explains that just like we could rely on Talmud Chacham to paskin shilas, we could rely on Talmud Chacham to paskin that this person should get well. Another pshat that I saw is that the Chacham does tshuva when he hears. He gets you to do tshuva, and Chazal teaches gedoyle tshuva. Tshuva is so great that it causes refuah to come to the world. The question, of course, the Paiskim say, is that we know that Loch is, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a Chayla. The question is, are we allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a Chayla? Are we spending money to go to a Rav, to Mispalo? Somebody spent money, he knew his friend, somebody was sick, and he traveled to a Talmud Chacham to Davin. And now he wants the family to pay. So the Shtitz Eliezer says that even though that Al Gemara is teaching us this halacha, it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. And that's why the halacha is that we're not mispalel for Chayil B'Shabbos unless it's Sekanos Nefashos. And that's why there's a famous tshuva where somebody sent a telegram on Shabbos to a Talmud Chacham and it was considered a Chilul Shabbos. But this tshuva is quoted in the Marsham, and the Marsham says at that point, he said that the Talmud Chacham has to make sure that this person gets better, otherwise it'll be a chil Shabbos. The Sefer Imri Zev explains, now we could understand what we say on Monday and Thursday after Kriyas HaTorah. We say, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there shouldn't be any sick people. And then we daven, L'Kayim Baruch Chachmei Yisrael. Because we say, how will we prevent sick people? By L'Kayim Baruch Chachmei Yisrael. The Chavetz Chaim says, the Pasuk says, Ezri Mim Hashem, Oysa Shemayim Va'oretz. Why did David HaMelech just say, why didn't he just say Ezri Mim Hashem? Why did it say Me'im Hashem? So he says, what David HaMelech meant to say was, that you should daven to the people who are Im Hashem, who are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the people who are close to the Talmid Chachamim, close to Hashem are the Talmid Chachamim. Dimri Emes explains that we know that the Torah, going back to the Chumash, has a tremendous power to bring refuah. And he says, if you look at the words in the parashah of Torah, it says, Kach Lecha Samim. The last letters of the word Kach Lecha Samim is Chacham. The Sefer Bikurei Nissen says that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Kol HaMavaz HaTalmid HaChachamim, Ein LeRefuah LeMakasai. Why? Because if a person doesn't show that a cheretz to a Talmud Chacham, so then he can't turn around to that Talmud Chacham to daven on his behalf. And therefore he'll remain sick. The Gros says that what's the point of going to Talmud Chacham? He says, people are supposed to go to Talmid Chachamim to listen to their shiurim, to learn from them. But if you have, chas v'shalom, an individual who doesn't do so, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have no choice other than by making the person sick. And once the person will be sick, then we'll have our Gemara that will have to go Yelech Etzel Chacham. There's a beautiful tshuva from Ramosha, Igros Moshe, Alas Chuvas, Igros Moshe, Chelek Ches, Yoridea, Simen Nun Aleph. Moshe speaks about people who come to him, they're not well, and they come to him for brachas. And Ramosha says that even though, in his tremendous humility, he says that even though I know that I'm not a Talmud Chacham, but the Gemara says, first of all, Ramosha says that it's not only a sick person, but anybody who has an issue should go to Talmud Chacham to be mispal on him. And then Ramosha says that if a person comes to Talmud Chacham, Ramosha speaks about himself, and even though the Talmud Chacham knows that he is not really worthy, he's really not the person that people should he should be davening for other people, but those people think that he is a person that could daven on his behalf, says the Gemara, says Rav Moshe, that I have an obligation to daven on his behalf. The Leiv Simcha makes an interesting point. He says the Gemara doesn't say Yelech Etzel Tzadik. The Gemara says Yelech Etzel Chacham. Because as we're learning in our Shir, if the Chacham's obligation is not just to tell the person, I'll daven for you. The Chacham's obligation is to teach the person how to live a better life. And therefore, he is the person that you should go to. And I saw along those lines, the Michtam Eliyahu desk says, Yelech Etzel Chacham. You have to go to a Chacham and show what happens when you go to a Chacham. When you go to a Chacham, what happens is that the Chacham teaches you and you become a Talmud of the Chacham. Only a person that you have the ability to daven, only if the person who you will become bottled to, that's the person who could daven on your behalf. Another pshat that I saw is Yelech Etzel Chacham, is that you should daven for the Chacham. If we want the Klal Yisrael should have Hatzlacha, the way we're going to have Hatzlacha is Yikayim Baruch Chachmei Yisrael, if there will be Talmid Chachamim. So Yelech Etzel Chacham, go to the Talmud Chacham, support the Talmud Chacham, help the Talmud Chacham succeed. And if you will help the Talmud Chacham to succeed, then you will be able to have a refuah. The Miri, in conclusion, has a whole different pshat. The way a person gets better, says the Miri, is by tefillah. But you have to know how to daven. And that's why the Gemara says, Yelech Etzel Chacham, go to a Chacham, and you're going to learn from the Chacham what is the proper way to daven. And once you learn from the Chacham the proper way to daven, you'll have a refuah. We learned in the Mishnah Zah Klal, Kol HaKodem V'Nachla, whoever is first, as we've been discussing, a son comes before anyone else, Yotzi Recha Kodemim, V'Av Kodem V'Kol Yotzi Rechon. Boy Ram Bachama, Avi Ho'Av, the grandfather of the Nifter, V'Achi Av, and the brothers of the Nifter, Kegoyin Avram and his son Yishmol, in the Nechosim of Esav. Esav was, we know, the son of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. And let's say Esav died without any children, and Yitzchak didn't have any children. Ezmem Koidim, who goes first? Does Avram, the grandfather, come first, or does Yishmol, his brother, go first? Amar Rav Tashma, Hav Koidim L'chol Yotzi Rechai. A father comes first, and therefore the sons of that father, which are the brothers of the Nifter, come first, because they're extension of the father. We've discussed many times in our shiurim the concept of nishmush, the concept of when we speak about somebody's brothers being his yarshim. The question is, what does that mean? Does it mean they're his yarshim because they are in the list of yarshim, or does it mean that they're yarshim because they're the yarshim of the father? And the father is the Yairish. Says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, from our Gemara, we see that it must be that it's because of Mishmush. Because the way to learn it, they Yarshim because of the brought, they are coming because of the father. So it must be because of Mishmush. Ask the Gemara. But this is something that's been so clear in all of our Mishnayos and Gemara. So how did Rav Bachama ask this question? Says, Rami Agav Chorche Loi Ayinbay. He was so the way the Rishonim explained, he was busy with the next question that the Gemara is about to ask. And because he was busy with the next question they was going to ask, he didn't pay attention to this question. And from here we see that one is supposed to learn in a way, the Mepharshim say, that he should pay attention to his learning. The Gra says that if a person doesn't really spend time trying to understand what he's learning, then he's not going to succeed in his learning, as we see in this Gemara. As the Gemara says, Agav Chorfe, because he was so busy trying to think ahead and wasn't trying to really understand what he's learning, like Ayimba, says the Gemara, by Rabbi Bechama. So now the Gemara quotes the next question. Avia Av, the grandfather, Vachav, Kegoyim, Avram, and Yaakov ben Nechsei Esav. Ezmem, the question is, how do we look at this? Do we say that when Esav died without children, his father Yitzchak, even though his father Yitzchak is not alive, is his Yairish, and therefore Yaakov, who's Yitzchak's Yairish, gets it? Or do we say that his grandfather gets it? Amrav Toshma, Ha'af Koidem Chol Yetzi Reichai. The father comes first, and therefore, the Avram comes before Yaakov to get the Yerusha of Esav. Rami Bechama says the Yotzi Recha Shaloi. Maybe it's only his own children, not his grandchildren. Loi Yotzi Recha Shabanoi. Says the Gemara, Hachinami Mustabra, that the halacha is that Yaakov comes before Avram. The Klani, because our Mishnah says that Klal Kol Hakodem Benachloi, whoever's first Yotzi Recha Kodemim. If Yitzchak was still alive when his son Esav died, he would get the Yerusha. Has the Nami delays Yitzchak? Now, if Yitzchak's not alive, so who are Yitzchak's Yairish? Yaakov Kaidem. So Yaakov, his son, comes before, who is Yaakov, his son, who is the uncle of the Nifter, comes who is the brother of the Nifter, comes before the grandfather of the Nifter, even though maybe one can make an argument that the grandfather, this is what Mefarshim explained to Gemara, that the grandfather is a closer relative. We don't look at the relative because we look at who his father was, and the brother is an extension of the father.